My talk this morning, let me see if I can get this clicker to work here. Yes. Talk is called Above the Battleground. Really about this world as the battleground, world of duality. And the image that you have there, it actually comes from the Hindu scriptures, the Bhagavad Gita. You probably can't see it online, but there's a little chariot in the middle between two opposing armies. And there's a blue being in there, that's Krishna, and the other being is Arjuna, a warrior, and they're having a little chat, but we'll get back to that. We'll get back to that. I'll show you another image here, and that's the town I grew up in, Little Falls, New York. The church steeple and the buildings next to it are the school and the church that I attended. And one of the cool things about growing up in a valley town like this is you can just take a little walk and you can be up in the hills and you can see what it looks like above the city. They called it a city. I'm not sure. Not sure that word really applies anymore. The village of Little Falls. Back in my high school days, my buddy Dave and I used to do a lot of walking and talking. And it would often lead us into those hills, either the ones on the other side there or probably the ones from where this picture was taken. And, you know, there's something about getting that vision above the town, being up there, coming to a good lookout point and looking out over the scene below. For us, I think maybe it was a way for us to deal with our teenage angst without resorting to certain substances at the time. But we all know that hiking in nature provides a big boost for mental health. I hope you're doing that. Some of you are probably out there not listening to me right now because you're doing that right now. Hopefully some of you did it yesterday, and maybe we'll go out again today just to get out of nature and feel that presence there that's a very healing presence. Oh, I have to keep my clicker at the ready here. John Muir, the 19th century naturalist and mountaineer, said, "Nature's peace will flow into you as sunshine flows into trees. The winds will blow their own freshness into you, and the storms their energy, while cares will drop off like autumn leaves." There's often also something about that change in perspective, that a hill or a mountain provides, that clears the mind and opens us to new possibilities. When we come back down, we're more ready to face the challenges that may await us. Astronauts like Edgar Mitchell experienced this in deeply profound ways when they ventured out into space and looked back upon our beautiful blue planet. Mitchell participated in the Apollo 14 moon landing, and he recalled later, he said, "Suddenly, from behind the rim of the moon, in long, slow-motion moments of immense majesty, there emerges a sparkling blue and white jewel, a light, delicate, sky-blue sphere laced with slowly swirling veils of white, rising gradually like a small pearl in a thick sea of black mystery." He said, "It takes more than a moment to fully realize that this is Earth, home. We went to the moon as technicians. We returned as humanitarians." He said, "What I experienced during that 3-day trip home was nothing short of an overwhelming sense of universal connectedness. I actually felt what has been described as an ecstasy of unity." Wow. Again, my talk is called Above the Battleground. The battleground is this world of darkness and light, of beauty and terror sometimes, of health and illness, love and fear. Edgar Mitchell and his fellow astronauts truly got a new soul shifting perspective above the battleground of Earth. Mitchell again said, in outer space, you develop an instant global consciousness, a people orientation, an intense dissatisfaction with the state of the world, and a compulsion to do something about it. That title, Above the Battleground, comes from a section of the Course in Miracles, and where it talks about the human desire to attack. And the Course bluntly states that it's always a form, a lower form of murder, the intention to do away with something, and the need to unite our mind with the mind of God, which is really our own right mind. The Course says, be lifted up and from a higher place look down upon it. From there will your perspective be quite different. Here, in the midst of it, it does seem real. Here, you have chosen to be part of it. Here, murder, sometimes your choice. Yet, from above, the choice is miracles instead of murder. And the perspective coming from this choice shows you the battle is not real and easily escaped. Bodies may battle, but the clash of forms is meaningless. Well, that brings us back to this scene with Arjuna and Krishna and the forces of battle from the Bhagavad Gita, a Hindu scripture. Arjuna is a warrior. He's about to engage in this battle, and he wants nothing to do with it. He's through with this. He calls out to God, who appears to him in the form of Krishna, who takes him, in a sense, above the battleground. Everything kind of stops and is still, and they have this long discourse about the nature of human life and the call to see it from a divine perspective. He reminds Arjuna that nothing with a soul really dies, that he is immortal. Krishna says to Arjuna, non-being can never be. Being can never not be. Both these statements are obvious to those who have seen the truth. The presence that pervades the universe is imperishable, unchanging, beyond both is and is not. How could it ever vanish? These bodies come to an end, but that vast embodied self, with a capital S, is ageless, fathomless, and eternal. He concludes, therefore you must fight, Arjuna. At which point Arjuna probably took a big gulp, and they went on to have a longer discussion. But don't get too hung up on the sort of pacifist question here. It's not really about the validity or the morality of war. That book, that sacred book, is about being in the material world at all, choosing to be, about having an experience of duality when your soul, that vast embodied self, is beyond all that. You must, as Jesus told his disciples, be in the world but not of it. You must keep the higher perspective above the battleground, the perspective of that capital S self, what we often call in unity the Christ self. I believe this is the perspective that our times particularly call us to. It's kind of a Shakespearean perspective. All the world's a stage. All the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances. One man in his time plays many parts. Or more disparagingly, in the case of Macbeth, after the demise of his wife, in a particularly bleak moment, said, life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage, and then is heard no more. It's a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Think maybe Arjuna was of the same mind when he called out to Krishna. Well, I'm going to share a song with you about keeping this perspective of life as a stage play, a classroom to enable us to make the kinds of choices that return us to that universal connectedness that Edgar Mitchell spoke of. It's called Show the Way. It's by songwriter David Wilcox. It's one of these songs that's kind of been in my quiver of songs for a few decades now. I kind of always come back to it. You say you see no hope. You say you see no reason we should dream that the world will ever change. You're saying love is foolish to believe, 'cause there'll always be some crazy with an army or a knife to wake you from your daydream, put the fear back in your life. Look, if someone wrote a play just to glorify what's stronger than hate, would they not arrange the stage to look as if the hero came too late? He's almost in defeat. It's looking like the evil side will win. So on the edge of every seat, from the moment that the whole thing begins, it is love who mixed the mortar, and love who stacked these stones, and it's love who made the stage here, though it looks like we're alone. In this scene set in shadows, like the night is here to stay, there is evil cast around us, but it's love that wrote the play. For in this darkness, love will show the way. Now the stage is set. You feel your own heart beating in your chest. This life's not over yet. So we get up on our feet and we do our best. We play against the fear. We play against the reasons not to try. We're playing for the tears burning in the happy angel's eye. For it's love who mixed the mortar, and it's love who stacked these stones, and it's love who made the stage, though it looks like we're alone. In this scene set in shadows, like the night is here to stay, there is evil cast around us, but it's love that wrote the play. For in this darkness, love will show the way. Thank you. So love is the reason we're here. It's the purpose of this whole big human drama. It's a place to learn to bring the perspective of higher mind to a place of forgetfulness. Of Course in Miracles says that we had a tiny mad idea that we could exist outside of God, and thus this whole thing happened. It's one way of looking at it. The human classroom becomes a place then where we learn to choose love over fear, resurrection over crucifixion. Go back to the Hindu scriptures for a minute. And the Upanishads, another ancient Hindu scripture, speaks of these two perspectives, and it does it as birds in a tree. It says, like two golden birds perched on the selfsame tree, intimate friends, ego and self, capital S, dwell in the same body. The former eats the sweet and sour fruits of the tree of life, while the other looks on in detachment. As long as we think we are the ego, we feel attached and fall into sorrow. But realize that you are the self, the Lord of life, and you'll be freed from sorrow. When you realize that you are the self, supreme source of light, supreme source of love, you transcend the duality of life and enter the unitive state. The ego self is that bird who is constantly trying to feed its hunger, but it's never quite satisfied. That other bird is the silent witness. Do you know that idea of the witness, of witness consciousness? The late Ram Dass wrote about that. He said, witnessing is like waking up in the morning, looking in the mirror, and noticing yourself. Not judging or criticizing, just neutrally observing the quality of being awake. The process of stepping back takes you out of being submerged in your experience and in your thoughts and the sensory input and into self-awareness. Along with that awareness comes the subtle joy of just being here, alive, enjoying being present in the moment. Eventually, floating in that subjective awareness, the objects of awareness dissolve and you will come into the spiritual self, the Atman, which is pure consciousness, joy, compassion, the One. One of the tricks of being above the battleground is just being in the present moment, to practice that mindfulness. Noticing things, noticing your own feelings and reactions. If the news media makes you anxious, notice it. Be that higher bird. Stand back, be detached from a distance. Just notice. Be the witness. I have a little recommendation for you. And doing this talk, I remembered back in my early 20s, when I came down with mono and completely wiped me out. I was living in Albany on my own. I was working in a bookstore, and I just had to, I had to go back to Little Falls, actually, and live with my parents for a week, flat out on the couch for a lot of it. And working in a bookstore, I brought a couple books with me, and one of them had just come out. It was by Dr. Raymond Moody. It was called Life After Life. It was that big groundbreaking book that revolutionized the way we think about death and what follows it. It opened up this whole field of near-death research. It had a huge effect on me, frankly. Reading it was a lot like being taken above the battleground of this world and given a new and vital perspective on what's going on both behind the curtain and here on the ground. So I recommend it. And this is a good time to pick up one of those books. There's a lot of them out there. Those 100 stories in Life After Life, along with the thousands that have followed since, I think they're an invaluable gift to us today. There is immense comfort to be found in these stories. And if your rational mind complains about it, is kind of skeptical and not really up for this, just tell it to take a little hike. Go up into the mountain or whatever, or just, you know, read it as a story, but read it. Eben Alexander's recent books, or Anita Marjani. Raymond Moody has several books, and there are others as well. Just find one. You can go to your library on Hoopla probably and find one if you know about that. I'm just learning about that. What you begin to understand that there is a reason for living here in this battleground of a world. Keeping the perspective of that higher mind of the self will guide us through it and maybe even allow us to begin to see heaven on earth. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is laid out right here, but people don't see it. Here's just a little snatch of a song that another one that's just been in my back pocket since about high school. It's the end of a longer song by Noel Paul Stuckey, who was Paul of Peter, Paul, and Mary, one of my musical heroes. And the song just ends. I think this is just a little piece of a song they thought this will go nicely here.
Looked at the valley below. Did you see all the roads tangled down in the valley? Did you know which way to go? Oh, the mountain stream runs pure and clear, and I wish to my soul I could always be there. But there's a reason for living way down in the valley that only the mountain knows.
To look upon the battleground from above is not about ignoring worldly problems and human suffering. It's about being present in the moment. It's about seeing the light of love in everyone and everything. It's that field that Rumi spoke of. Do you know the poem? Out beyond ideas of right doing and wrong doing, there's a field. I'll meet you there. I hope that this time of sequestering in these last 6 or 7 weeks, how long has it been, have helped you to gain a new perspective on your life and on being in this world. I hope it will continue to do that for us all. That when we come out of this, it'll be a different world. It'll be a little bit more of that field. It will be a little bit more of heaven on earth. Hold that perspective.